Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT, a weekly conversation with people who are shaping the technology landscape. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Anil Cherian to the broadcast. Anil is the former Corporate Executive Vice President and Chief Information Officer of SunTrust Bank. He retired in March of 2018 after 6 years with the company in that role. While at SunTrust, Anil led a transformation effort that saw the consolidation of the company's digital efforts, as well as the implementation of a new operating model to align IT to the business. Prior to joining SunTrust as CIO, Anil had a long career in consulting, including over 9 years as a partner at IBM and 15 years at PwC. Anil sits on the advisory boards of several growth stage startups. He earned a Bachelor of Science degree in Electrical and Electronic Engineering from the Imperial College London, as well as a Master's of Science in Management Science and a Master's of Philosophy in Management Science, both from Imperial College Business School. I recently caught up with Anil by phone in his office in Atlanta, Georgia, and our conversation covered world-class IT principle 4, IT and business partnerships, as Anil discussed the operating model transformation he led early in his tenure, which focused on driving business and IT alignment by breaking down silos, and principle 5, external partnerships, as Anil shared his experience developing relationships with fintech startups and venture capitalists while serving as CIO. We also discussed how Anil reorganized SunTrust digital and innovation efforts, how Anil's career in consulting prepared him for his role as a CIO, Anil's plans for post-retirement, and other topics. If you like what you hear, we'd be grateful if you give us a rating on iTunes or through whatever other source you use for podcasts. Thank you. The Forum on World-Class IT is brought to you by TopTal. TopTal helps organizations achieve the world-class skill, execution speed, and agility they need to win in an environment of increasing innovation and competition, especially in the realm of talent. Blockchain is a topic of increasing relevance to companies, and chief information officers need to develop a talent pipeline to help implement a blockchain strategy. I recently caught up with TopTal's CEO, Tasso Duval, who offered his top five thoughts on obtaining blockchain talent.
First, when hiring blockchain talent, don't focus too much on specific experience, especially since the tools of the trade are changing rapidly. Instead, hire people with a strong baseline knowledge of development and who have experience with cryptography or distributed systems. Second, look for developers who are enthusiastic about the technology. That enthusiasm will provide motivation for them to stay up to date on best practices and innovations in technology. Third, focus on quality of previous development work and attention to detail. Faulty development work can cost a lot in the long term, especially with blockchain implementations. Fourth, ensure you're peer reviewing the talent that comes into the network or that comes into your organization through other experts so that you're ensuring their blockchain knowledge is up to speed with your expectations. And fifth, ensure that when you're providing a management framework for the developer to work within, it's one that considers blockchain at its core, ensuring that the developer is not only working with best software practices, but also best blockchain practices is very important.
Anil Cherian, welcome to the Forum on World-Class IT.
Great. Thank you, Peter. Thank you for having me.
That's a pleasure. Anil, I thought we would begin with some exciting news that was recently announced, and that is that you will be retiring as Chief Information Officer of SunTrust after a very successful nearly six-year journey. I guess by the conclusion, it will have been a six-year journey at the company. I thought we'd begin with what you're planning to do in retirement. As I understand it, it's the end of March that you... by the time we release this, that date will likely have passed, but it's the end of March that you will officially depart. And what do you foresee doing after the conclusion of your time at SunTrust?
Yeah, I haven't got a real detailed plan in place. I do intend to take some time off and travel a little bit. And I am on a few advisory boards and in some smaller late-stage growth startups. I do intend to pursue some public board opportunities. do a little bit of consulting and advisory work through a lot of the relationships that I've built in the past. But I'm not seeking a CIO type of job, as it were. I've heard about the term portfolio career.
Right.
The first time I've heard about it. And that's what I intend to do. I'd never heard of that term before, but that's my plan. Yeah, do about 8 or 9 different things, and try not to work the same number of hours that I used to work in the past.
Yeah, and you mentioned you're doing already some advising on the boards of some venture-backed organizations. Can you talk a bit about that experience? How have you gotten involved? And I'm curious also, as a chief information officer, the value that these organizations derive from having a CIO advising them.
Sure, during the course of my career as a CIO, I built several relationships with fintech venture capitalist firms, as well as just general venture cap firms that are involved with primarily late stage types of startups. And these are startups that are perhaps in the 40, 50 million a year range and growing. Focus is really to grow their revenue to 100 plus. It's really exciting. It's really good fun being part of a board on a lot of these startups. The career that I've had in consulting as well as in driving IT for a financial services firm really enables me to help a lot of these startups in their revenue opportunities, what's the right messaging, providing them with a CIO perspective, helping them think through how best to attract and build the right talent and so on. So it's been fun. And it really helps me as well in the sense that, I'm networking with some very influential folks who are also in similar positions as myself, and I've built lots of relationships as a result of that.
That's excellent. And I'd love to talk a little bit further about your time as a CIO. I mentioned a moment ago that it's roughly 6 years you've been in your post, a nice solid tenure. And I wonder if you can reflect back towards the beginning of your time as Chief Information Officer, and reflect on the department that you inherited and some of the things you did in the early days to set it on the course that you would end up leading it for a half dozen years.
Yeah. When I started SunTrust, in SunTrust, the technology group was very much a siloed organization that had your typical silos. You had your head of application development. You had your head of infrastructure, someone who ran programs and governance, testing, et cetera. But I also had operations, core enterprise operations for the bank. And it was very much siloed in the sense that the interaction with the business was at best, not very clean, and how should I say? And so the focus that I had in the first year was constantly repeating a mantra of business alignment, effectiveness, and efficiency. That was really the mantra that we had, and the transformation that we went through at that point was all about alignment, changing the operating model to be much more aligned to the business, driving things like cost transparency, focusing on invest versus operate, driving real strategic investment decisions, changing the makeup of our vendor mix. And it was really a major transformation that needed to take place, and building out real talent, business aligned talent, actually even driving operations within each of the business segments and also creating a data officer role and a digital officer role. So it's really a lot of things that needed to be done to take this Kali, and then I don't want to be too, say too much about it, but it's more taking it to the next level, taking the whole IT function to the next level. That needed to be much more, the dialogue with the business really had to be changed.
Very interesting. And interesting also that you hired a chief digital officer, or promoted one as the case may be, as well as a chief data officer. I'd be interested in your thoughts about having a leader over each of these functions, presumably highlighting, of course, the sanctity of these roles, the necessity to bring about a new set of capabilities with a leader who is firmly involved with and guiding and shaping the agenda for each of those areas. Can you talk a little bit about their purviews, their reporting structure, that sort of thing?
Sure. The digital officer role, we had fragmented digital work taking place in each of the segments that we have. So we had retail, private wealth, mortgage, capital markets, commercial banking. All of them had their own digital components, and it was really being built in a very fragmented fashion. And so there was a need to create an enterprise digital officer who brought all of those core client-facing digital properties under one umbrella to create a common look and feel, to create a common set of core functions, payments hub, for example, that's core, the whole look and feel piece that was done, that's core, several core functions, and as well as build out all of, and then, we're in the process of building out an enterprise client portal that really provides an aggregation of all of the different products and services that we provide to our clients. So that's the digital role. And that was a significant cultural change, because it's not just the IT change, it's also changes in the way in which the business looked at their products and the need to aggregate that, or aggregate client information as well. That was all part of the digital purview. Now, on the data side, that was another significant shift. The data governance, the data lineage, the data provisioning, the analytics engines, a lot of that was in, again, different silos and different groups. And the need to bring that together under one chief data officer became very apparent as we started looking through early on, it was looking at more from a regulatory standpoint, but then from a stress testing, capital adequacy ratings. There's a lot of work done in terms of just aggregating data. But then when you look at actually revenue generation and real analytics, the need to bring all of that data pieces together became very, very evident. And again, data as well was not about technology. It's all about the business, right? So it's really making the change on the business side was something that we needed to do on both occasions. Similarly, on operations, I created a chief operations officer role ahead of enterprise operations. And the reason why I bring up operations is, in financial services, the connection between operations and technology is so close. For example, if you're driving payments, you're creating ACH transactions or wire transactions, all of those operations really need to be tied in really closely with the technology. And so that was another core function that was created with sub-functions within each of the segments.
Did each of these roles report to you, Anil?
Yes, they did. So the transformation that was that we went through was creating CTOs I call them CTOs, but I only wanted one CIO. I didn't want multiple CIO functions. I didn't want to have that confusion. But chief technology officers by segment, one for consumer. At that time, mortgage was separate, consumer mortgage and wholesale. And then you had a CDO for data, the enterprise digital officer, the chief operations officer, the CTO for infrastructure, and the CTO for shared services, as well as the head of cyber. So that was really the group that I ran.
And do all those roles still remain? Were any of them transitory, or do all of them still remain as roles within the organization?
They still remain as roles within the organization. We, as part of my transition, we've got the segment alignment of the operations functions really well embedded, that now we're building, we've moved all those operations functions into the segments, into the business segments. We've moved the data and analytics components, data governance, analytics, data quality, into the segments, and they really need to be business owned. And the CIO role is now more of a technology and cyber role. And that's the purview that that Scott Case has.
Interesting. Can you talk a bit about the role that your team generally played in driving innovation on behalf of the company and on behalf of its customers? Clearly, as you're defining each of these roles, I can see a tremendous amount of new ideas, new thinking, new ways of leveraging data, new ways of setting the digital agenda both within the operation as well as on behalf of SunTrust customers. Can you talk a bit about that journey from an innovation perspective?
Yeah, let me first put it in terms of the way in which the business was changing. SunTrust is a purpose-driven organization, really connected to its clients in terms of meeting its clients' needs. And this is something that our CEO and the executive team formed a strategy on early on, so early in the 2011-2012 timeframe. And the marketplace was also rapidly changing, because the digital transformation that was going on was huge, especially in financial services, and still is. The advent of fintech companies and the clients needing and demanding their data to be shown to them in a much more digital form. More of an API, open API driven economy. The shift to cloud really took off during my tenure, as financial services companies started realizing that there is a the public cloud is something that we could leverage from a security standpoint, and other technologies like AI and robotics and so on were all going and happening at the same time. So the innovation, as you asked, that we drove as a team was really looking at all of these components of the massive transformation, digital transformation that the world was going through. And we established, from a technology standpoint, a strategy and vision that said, we are going to orchestrate and build the right technology and systems in a much more open API form, I can read you the whole vision statement, but that's kind of setting that strategy up front drove the change in terms of agile. We created something called a business accelerator, which really sped up the way in which we built systems. And again, all of this was not about technology, and all of this spilled over into the way in which the business looked at things like product capabilities, the funding model, the way in which we look at global resources, the DevOps mindset, investment planning, what APIs to build, how best to migrate to the cloud. You know, the business became really closely interested in all of the above. And, you know, so that's kind of more of a strategic thrust and view. And that's more recent. That's probably, you know, a year and a half old. Prior to that, our approach to innovation was all about creating hackathons and building open collaborative hours where we could be, you know, we could engender a mindset shift, a culture shift in terms of looking to create in a much more rapid form with limited budget, how to really innovate. Those were interesting, those hackathons and so on. But until we came up with this framework and strategy and vision, where we had an overarching umbrella that we could leverage, those one-off hackathons, sometimes, you know, 1 out of 10 ideas probably went somewhere. The rest were good fun, but they didn't go very far. We needed that umbrella. We needed the overall vision. We needed the overall strategy. And that helped from an innovation standpoint.
It strikes me, Anil, an extraordinary cultural change that you ushered in across your tenure at SunTrust. You've been speaking about some of the new roles that you instituted, the new purviews, the different areas that IT was getting involved in, even the greater level of structure that the department was providing in the service of innovation for the company and, again, for the company's customers as well. And I'm curious, how difficult was the cultural change? You know, oftentimes it is said cultural change is the most difficult of all because it's the changing of people's behaviors. It's changing the way in which they act and operate on a day-to-day basis. Did you find that as you were continuing this journey that most people were able to cross the chasm to a new way of operating as you've described? Or did it also require a healthy injection of new talent to reflect the new reality?
Yeah, and you know, one thing I'd say about culture change is it is probably the most important component of any transformation. And culture is not something that you can drive the change of in a programmatic fashion. It's much more of a inherent behavioral change, and it's about reflecting those behaviors and really underpinning those behaviors with follow-up, a continued follow-up. And, you know, and I still think it's a work in progress. You know, one of the, you know, we did bring on several new leaders. You know, I went through 3 iterations of my leadership team to the point that till where we landed in the last couple of years. So in the 6 years, I had 3 different sets of leaders, and they all fit. It wasn't a complete change. There were some individuals who were there for the bulk of the time, but I needed to do that because the change in leadership was, and the change in structure and the demands of those leaders were different through the stages of the transformation. I think it's in a much more stable form now, and I'm sure my successor is probably going to have to go through some more changes, but hopefully not as drastic as replacing the leaders 3 times. So changing out the leadership is an important piece. Bringing the core team forward is very difficult, and bringing all of the teammates forward is the hardest component of it, and I think it's a work in progress. I think there's a lot of inertia. There's a lot of reasons why you can't change. There's a lot of folks who would rather keep doing things the way they always did. Because change is difficult, and getting that instituted across the organization was also part of the fun. I mean, that's really, you know, seeing people who you never thought would change embrace the new way, and become and grow as a result was really gratifying.
You've mentioned a couple times your successor, Scott Case, who was a colleague of yours for a number of years. He left the organization for a short while and then came back to take on these new responsibilities as a CIO. Can you talk a bit about the leadership transition? As we record this, it's still in progress, I recognize, but interested to understand how you and he, for that matter, have thought about the transition in leadership.
Yeah, Scott's I hired him. He was one of the CTOs that I mentioned. He ran our consumer CTO, so he reported into me back in 2015 and worked for me for 2 years. And as you said, he did a short stint as a CIO for a small healthcare firm. We are fortunate that we were able to bring Scott back. Was clearly one of my successors and earmarked as that for some time. He and I have spent a lot of time together transitioning through all of the core technology and cyber areas. As you know, there's always critical things that need to be dealt with. And then there are more organizational and leadership things that need to be dealt with. And then there are ongoing things that perhaps take a little longer. So we have this constant list of things that the two of us talk through. In fact, we spent a fair amount of time yesterday and the day before and have been doing so for quite some time. So it's working out well. My approach and Scott's approach has been he's the man in the chair and I'm the transition provider. So I'm available to him as he needs me. Not, you know, the two of us are not in the chair at the same time. He is the man in the chair. So that's as long as we make that very clear to the organization, that has worked out pretty well for us. Mm-hmm.
You came to SunTrust after a long career as a consultant, first with PwC, then with IBM. You were a leader of IBM's insurance practice at the conclusion of your career as a consultant. And I'm curious, what advantages did your time as a consultant give you prior to taking on your first and only post as Chief Information Officer?
You know, I think the consulting role in particular, a management consulting role in PwC as well as in IBM really prepares you for a variety of different the different experiences really give you a broader perspective as to what is good look like and how do you get to good. The consulting that I did in my 30 years in consulting was not so much what you typically call a consultant, which is the guy who prepares the PowerPoint and leaves you that binder at the end of the engagement. A lot of my consulting roles were actually driving a significant amount of transformation for our clients. And so seeing what it takes to get that done, seeing what the pitfalls are, driving things like change management and driving the real business alignment and ensuring that the business can absorb the change. Those are all aspects of work that I went through in consulting that really helped as I walked into the CIO role. It didn't hurt that I did a lot of that consulting for SunTrust. When I was in IBM, so I did know a lot of the culture and the leadership team, et cetera. So that also helped in a big way. But I think it prepared me well for the amount of change that needed to go through and the transformation that needed to happen.
As you look to the future, I'm curious what trends particularly excite you, Anil. We've talked about the transformation you've led in SunTrust. We've talked a bit about the advisory work you're doing in technology. Surely that's giving you further reason to think about the future of technology, where it is heading. But I'm curious, as you have a chance to pause and reflect a little bit, what are some of the things that are particularly intriguing for you?
Yeah, I think the technology world is so dynamic, and it is such a this is probably the best time to be in technology, and perhaps in financial services, but in technology in general, given the huge amount of innovation that's going on, the change that's so rapid, this, you know, the creation of these massive digital ecosystems and marketplaces where so much is possible just through apps on individuals' phones or integrations that take place from an API standpoint. It is just phenomenal. And I think being involved in that, seeing companies grow into that space, watching traditional companies evolve and survive as a result, the battles that are going on between the older, more established companies and the newer ones that are walking in into the marketplaces and taking over client relationships. It is just an amazing thing to witness and then to be part of, and to the role of the technologist is changing so much. I think the lines between the traditional CIO and the business leaders are blurring, and you'd want business leaders to be much more tech savvy. And the traditional role for the CIO of managing all of that infrastructure, and with the advent of cloud, I mean, all of that's going to change. How do you manage that changes? Not that someone needs to take and manage your cloud provider, but you've still got it's much more of a blurring line between product, operations, strategy, and tech in any of these companies. It's going to be interesting to watch. It's going to be interesting to be a part of.
Well, Anil Cherian, thank you so much for spending some time with me today and speaking on the Forum on World Class IT. It's been a great conversation, and congratulations on a terrific run as Chief Information Officer of SunTrust.
Thank you, Peter. Glad to do it.
Thanks for listening to the Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please rate us on iTunes or through whatever other source you use for podcasts. And please join me next week when my guest will be Srini Kushik, the Chief Information Officer and Chief Technology Officer of Magellan Health.
You've just listened to a podcast in a series we call MetaStrategies Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the Forum on World Class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to MetaStrategies' five principles of World Class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in reactive mode, consistently fighting fires. If systems and hardware and networks and so on work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It is important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and QA, through to support and all other aspects of IT, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important then that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business that it is a part of. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming a crucial weapon that organizations are employing, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metastrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metastrategy.com. And our theme music was written by David Armin. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.